So what are we doing today, family? Praise God. Just a little bit in the house, brother. Yeah. So I don't have to shout. You know, occasionally I do get excited. And occasionally. Praise God. Well, it's certainly good to see you all in the house of the Lord. We know that it's a holiday weekend, and there are a lot of folks that, you know, are with family, and that's okay. But we are here. Amen. Praise God. And, the Holy Spirit is here. And, that is what, matters. Because when the Holy Spirit is here, then we know it's going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. I also want to welcome our first time visitors. Praise God. It's good to see you. We ask, you know, if you're a part of a church, planted in a church, then we ask that you stay planted where God has sent you. But if you're looking for a home church, we'll certainly ask you to consider this one, because, you know, we're a church on the rise. We're going places, and I'm just excited. I can't wait for us to fill up this place so we can move into the sanctuary in the back. Amen. Glory to God. So we know that, you know, we will not despise the days of small beginnings, because if we remain faithful, then our latter end shall be greatly increased. Amen. Praise God. So this is an exciting time. And, you know, I just want to give honor to the man of God of the house. You know, from the day I met Pastor Gary and Irene, you know, it's just been a love fest. You know, listen, we are part of the body of Christ. And, you know, we're called to love. We're called to, you know, to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in our everyday walk. And how many know that some Christians make it real difficult for you to do that? But not so with my brother and his wife. You know, they're very genuine. They have a heart after God. They mean business with God. And, you know, coming out of a larger environment and, you know, being sent out into the field. You see, there's something about after you've sat in a place for 17 years and you have soaked in the word and you have been filled with the word, you know, you can't just, if you just sit there and do nothing, you know, you might get a little sour, you know. You have to release what you have. And, you know, it's the kingdom has been designed in such a way that the Lord wants us, after he has prepared us, then he'll send us out to go out and to do those things that are necessary to further the kingdom. And, you know, and after, you know, sitting there for a long time, and the time finally came where we were sent out. You know, we came out, and, you know, we've been on a journey, and it's been a really exciting journey. And God bless the day when we met in the park. It was the music festival. It was at the music festival that we met, and the Lord connected our hearts. And right away, I sensed that, you know, listen, you know, this is a man of integrity, a man who has a heart after God, and a man who wants to advance the kingdom. And that's what I'm looking for. Amen. Praise God. That's what it's all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the kingdom. It's about the end time harvest, because we do realize that there's chaos and confusion all around us. You know, but we who are believers, we know that there is a spiritual Goshen. That was the place in Egypt that the children of Israel were, so that when the plagues were on Egypt, they were safe. They were in a safe place. And so what happens is, even though we are in this world and we're not off this world, we are still in that safe zone, because in Christ Jesus, we have security. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of this ministry and to help to facilitate its growth. And, you know, I know that there are great things in store, great things in store. And it's the people of God who have to begin to see these things. You have to see through the eyes of faith and see that, listen, there's going to come a day, you know, when you're going to have to make an appointment to see Pastor. Because there'll be so many people that will be vying for, you know, I just want to be able to talk to the man of God. I just want to be able to, you know, to relate something to him. You know, but now you have a lot of time, and I think there are a lot of people that don't take advantage of that. But there's going to come a day when you'll be like, oh man, I have to fall in line. Praise God. Now, are you ready for the word today? Praise God. Well, today we'll be continuing on Changing Your World. This is part two of Changing Your World. And we're going to be going into a just a little different direction today, but you know, it's going to be good. Tell your neighbor it's going to be good. All right, that's not a statement of arrogance. That's a statement of faith. Amen? Glory to God. There's a big difference. Glory to God. Now, I want to start with something just to lighten the mood up a little bit. But there is a, you know, something to be gleaned here. A man dies and goes to heaven. Of course, Peter meets him at the pearly gates. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you have done, and I give you a certain number of points for each of them, depending on how good it was. When we reach 100 points, you get in. When we reach how many points? 100 points. Amen. Glory to God. You're paying attention. Okay, says the man. Well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful, says Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. Wow. Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministries with my tithe and service. Terrific, says Peter. That's certainly worth a point. 1 point? Golly. How about this? How about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. This is Memorial Weekend, right? Homeless veterans. Fantastic, Peter said. That's good for 2 more points, he says. 2 points? The man cries. At this rate, the only way I get into heaven is by the grace of God. Come in, Peter said. Come on in. Come on in. Come in. Come in. Peter said, come on in. Glory to God. It's the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at our first slide. Let's look at our first slide. How do those closest to you describe your Christianity? Do they think you live so that God will accept you? Or do they know that you live because God has accepted you in Christ Jesus? See, that's the question, ladies and gentlemen. Those who are closest to you, do they think you live that God will accept you? Or do they know that you live because God has accepted you in Christ Jesus? I want you to know that one brings tremendous weight, pressure, and uncertainty. The other brings freedom, enlightenment, and rest. I'll let you take a wild guess as to which one that is. You see, the answer to this question will expose to you whether you are living by faith or struggling to keep the law or a mixture of both, which is a lethal concoction. It will speak to your understanding or lack thereof of mercy and grace. It will determine whether your heart is properly postured before God to engage in believing and speaking according to His word, which releases operational faith, so as to enjoy the new covenant based upon better promises. Can you say amen? You see, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So when you think about mercy, you know, you said, I'm going to have mercy on someone. That means that person is guilty. It's guilty as charged. But when you say you're going to have mercy, you're going to say, listen, I'm going to pardon you. Even though you're guilty, I'm not going to hold it against you. And so you can see the wonder of God's love, because God loves you and I in spite of us. That's a good place to say glory to God. Oh, you can do better than that. That's a shouting moment right there, that God loves us in spite of us. But mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve and cannot earn. Glory to God. So it's important that we understand this, because if we do not understand this as believers, then we can make this thing harder than it has to be. The unskilled in rightly dividing the word of truth, to the unskilled in rightly dividing the word of truth, scriptures like these are misapplied and understood outside the covenantal framework of the full counsel of God. Someone will just read the Bible, and it says in the Bible, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." Doesn't it say that? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." It also says, "The Lord is angry with the wicked every day." Doesn't it say that? Well, I'll tell you where it says it. In Psalm 7:11, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." The Apostle Paul was referencing that. It's Romans 12:19. But when you take the word of God without understanding the covenant implications, understanding what was under the old covenant and what is under the new covenant, what Christ has done for us, then you can read statements like those and you can say, "Wow, man, this, I gotta be careful here now. I have to be on my best behavior here." Not recognizing that in the full counsel of God, when you read the book from cover to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, and when you understand the word of God, then you will see that right from the beginning, that forgiveness is greater than vengeance, and compassion more powerful than anger. When you get a revelation of that, and you see that the heart of the Father is mercy, when you see that God didn't just start loving you because you got your act together, the Bible says Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can you say amen? I've got to stick to my notes here because I will be here all day, and this is the holiday weekend. I'll be preaching to myself. It's like a brother who says, today we're going to, let's just start from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the brother says, "When you reach at Exodus, I'll be leaving." Glory to God. Now, how many can say today without a shadow of doubt that your eternal destiny is secure in Christ? How many can say that? Let me see your hands. Without a shadow of doubt. Glory to God. Now, how many of you that raised your hands can truly say that you are perfect and doing everything right? Now, don't let me say that. Okay, good, because I was about to cast the spirit of lie out of you. So then, the only way to have confidence in where you will spend eternity is to have faith in the grace of God. In other words, you have to simply believe, embrace, and testify of what God the Father has done for you in Jesus Christ. And that's it, period. Can you say amen? And that is saving faith. Saving faith. Now, next slide for me. Ephesians. I want to look at this. Now you have your word with you. You know, I've been saying a whole lot, but everything has to be rooted in the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Who hath what? "With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Next slide. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted," say accepted, "in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Can you say amen? Glory to God. That's a mouthful right there. You know, it emphasizes everything that we've talked about so far. Let's go to the next one. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It says, and you, talking about who? Us. And you has he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That are those who are disobedient to the faith, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, or our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Were by nature. You know, you've heard me say before, you see, a sinner sins because it is his nature to sin. A dog barks because it's in its nature to bark. And so that's what sinners do. When you're a sinner, you sin. But once you've been saved, once you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and once you have been filled with the Spirit of God, then you are no more a sinner in the eyes of God. You are a saint who occasionally misses the mark. And there's a big difference. Next slide. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Next slide. That in the ages to come, he might show, I'm going slowly so you can get this, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it's saying it is by grace that you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, not that faith that we operate in, the operational faith, that's a whole different kind of faith. But it's the gift of God, because he has given unto every man the measure of faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you say amen? You see how wonderful that man thought it was going to be when he said, I've been married to the same woman for 50 years. Praise God. He says, well, that's only worth a couple points. He was affronted, offended. Oh, come on now, that's got to be worth a lot. Because after all, not realizing that Jesus is the only one who never sinned in thought or in deed. Can you say amen? Now, I might just interject this here at this point, because, when you, talk about things like this, and it happened to me. It happened to me before I got delivered. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Before I got delivered from my, from religion, before I got delivered from, bad thinking and bad teaching, the minute you hear something like this, you start to think, oh, well, wait a minute now. Are you promoting that people are just to sin and do whatever they want to do? Not at all. You see, what you have to come to the realization of is this. Well, let me just give a picture right here. What if Jesus were to just walk into the room, manifest himself to you, what do you think that conversation would be like? Do you think you'd be saying, well, tell me, what were you doing last night? In fact, I saw you. You were watching that music video. No. You see, what happens is when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, then here's what happens. Because of his holiness, because of who he is, believe me, those things, you don't want to do anything that is going to be contrary to the holiness that you have encountered when you stand in his presence. Can you say amen? And so the thing is, we're not espousing that, you just live any old way. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that the Bible says that we have to stand fast in the liberty in which Christ hath made us free. But here's what comes with that. You've been made free, but now you have to manage your freedom. And that's a whole different way of living. Because how many of you live at my house? Oh, I... You see, they know the real me. At least, I believe they do. But I don't live at your house. You don't live at my house. You're not with me 24/7, but he is. And so the thing is, I realize that, listen, you know, I have the scripture. It's not in my notes, but let me just read this for you, because I want to make sure that, you know, the word brings forth a hundredfold return. I want to make sure of it. And I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but no, this is good. This is good. Let me just get this, and I want to read this for you. And I would encourage you to read it on your own time. Come on. Okay. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't have it up there, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When you're there, say amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now, you know, it's always good, and that's why, you know, I love what Pastor is doing in, you know, the new believers class, because, you know, a new believer, when you come into the kingdom of God, you need to understand, you know, how many recognize that I do have an accent? You know, how many realize I'm from an island? It's not Staten Island. But the point I'm trying to make is, you see, when I came to this country over 20 years ago, I realized that, listen, there's some things that I'm going to have to learn about the American way, how we live life in America. It would be kind of, I think, unproductive or counterproductive for me to come in and just put up all kinds of resistance. I said, I'm in America, but I'm not going to be America. Kind of silly. Go back to where you came from. But you have to understand that once you get into the kingdom of God, that there are things that you do. There is kingdom protocol. There are things that, you know, you have to understand how the kingdom works. And that's what the new believers classes are all about. To get you rooted and grounded in the things of God, and also to lay a foundation for you to now to start operating in the kingdom the way you ought to operate. Can you say amen? But when you get into the word, Corinthians, the book of Corinthians was written by the apostle Paul because he was bringing correction in the church. When you look at the different things, you have to realize this was written because, you know, why was this epistle written? And when you take it from that perspective, then you'll understand some of the things that are stated there, so you don't just extract it out of its context and use it and confuse anyone or confuse yourself. Because you see, every scripture that is used out of its context is a pretext or an excuse. And so it's important that we understand that. And as believers, we understand how to, you know, to work these things. Now, Let's get into this. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Okay, from verse 9. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He's bringing correction to the church. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Stop right there. I want everybody to look at me. I know that everybody here should be able to identify with at least one category that I just went through there. Covetous. Oh, come on now. Y'all are just putting your holy, looking at me with those holy highs. But here's what it says. Gotta read it now in context. Verse 11. And such were some of you. But, that's what you gotta get. But, alright brother, you're ahead of me. Oh, I'm gonna have to, oh you mean so I don't have to put those slides together anymore. Okay. Okay. But verse 11. And such were some of you. But look at this. But ye are, or you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. So in essence, I'm free in Christ, and all things are lawful unto me, but not all things will foster, or not all things will work favorably for me based on what God has ordained for me. Can you say amen? So all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. What does it say up there? Okay, same word. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So in essence, I have freedom in Christ, but I will not allow myself to be exercised in any activity that will become a stronghold in my life and wreak havoc in my life. Can you say amen? That's managing your freedom. So I don't have to say, listen, Pastor, I'm coming to stay at your house for a week. Just want to see how things are going over there. Then, next following week, be yours, brother. Get your house in order. Praise God. don't you smile over there, man. You won't even know when I'm coming. I'm just going to show up. Verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So if God delivered you from alcohol, then you should be staying away from the bars. Amen. You should. You understand how to manage your freedom. So I don't, when I'm driving on the highways and byways, I'm not looking around to see if I see any of the brothers or sisters from the church. Let me see if I see anybody from the church. Let me just make sure they're behaving themselves. Now you know when you're on your job that you have to conduct yourself in a way that will bring glory to your Father. Because now it's not about your sin. So now you don't have to be sin conscious. You just have to be righteousness conscious. So in essence, I'm just conducting myself in a way that will always be pleasing unto my Father. I'll tell you, it takes the pressure off you. Then you really understand. Now you can really have an appreciation for the grace of God. Can you say amen? All right, now that was for nothing. There was no charge for that one. That was free, okay? but I just wanted to touch that right there. Glory to God. Now, praise God. Now, let's go to our next scripture. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are what? You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So you are complete in him. You see, it's in Christ Jesus that I have this freedom. For years, those who practiced the law, they thought they had it down pat until Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus came on the scene, they were like, well, I have kept the law all my life. In fact, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. And according to our law, she must be stoned. What say you? Not realizing that in them bringing the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, they were exposing their hypocrisy, because you don't commit adultery by yourself. They brought the woman, but what happened to the man? Quite simple. Jesus knelt down, wrote in the sand. Any among you who is without sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. Now they didn't feel so holy and righteous anymore. they realize that, whoa, wait a minute. You mean half a truth is a whole lie? They realize that, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus looked up again and says, woman, where are your accusers? He says, oh, they're gone, Lord. He says, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and manage your freedom. It's a whole different way of operating, isn't it? Whole different way. Let me get on with this. One more scripture I want to get to you here. 2 Peter. 2 Peter verse 1. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all, is given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So according, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Amen? Through the knowledge. Now, let's go to the next one real quick. I know it's a holiday weekend. I get excited and I take these side trips, but I got to stay on track here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and verse 21 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. No, he's reupholstered. Patched up. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In fact, in the original it says, it's a new species, he's a new species of being that has never existed before. Woo. Never before has God dwelt in man the way he dwells in the believer today. That's an interesting study. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 21, for he hath made, say the word made. You see, Jesus, he had to make him to become sin, because Jesus never sinned, could not sin. So it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be, what's that word? Made. That means we couldn't do it ourselves. Just like he couldn't sin, so he had to be made sin. So it is, we couldn't make ourselves righteous, so that we had to be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you say amen? You see, these are scriptures that every believer, you have to know these things. You have to understand and really embrace these scriptures so that they become a part of your life. Because when the enemy tries to bring up your ugly past, not only have to remind him of his future, but you've got to remind yourself of the Word of God. And that's when I talk about you've got to believe and speak the Word of God, one of the most powerful places you do that is in your prayer closet. Glory to God. That's where you pray the Word of God. You pray the solution. But you pray. Whenever the devil tries to remind, I said, wait a minute. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature. You know, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You remind yourself of these things. And I tell you, once you remind yourself and you really allow that to take a hold of you, it's a whole different ball game. Can you say amen? Next scripture in John 10. John 10:10. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, it's very easy for us to read over this thing, but here's what it says. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Who is that? That's Satan, the old dragon. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have. Now, the word have, notice he didn't say, I might come that they might earn life. Because it's by grace that you're saved. I have come that they might have. Now the might, you say, well, that might is not on God's part. It's on whosoever will may come. You see? So when it says that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So you can have life, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can forsake the abundant part of it and just say, you know, I'm just going to suffer for the Lord all the days of my life. I grew up in that environment. I saw that. John 1, the next scripture, John 1, 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I rest my case right there. So you can see, brothers and sisters, that it is in Christ Jesus that we stand. It is in Christ Jesus that we live. It is in Christ Jesus that we can have this confidence and this boldness to say, listen, I am the righteousness of God. God, listen, you can say, I am holy because he is holy. I am righteous because he has made me righteous. And when you understand that, it's a whole different ballgame. It goes back to the question that I asked. How many of those who are close to you will say that you live in a way that will either as if you are earning or if you've just embraced? You remember that question that I raised earlier, do you? And it's important that we do that. Let's just take a praise break. Let's just take a praise break. Just lift your hands and just say, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name, O Lord our God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place. We just bless your holy name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I figured I'd just wake you up a little bit there. Just give me a couple more and I'm going to bring this to a close. Now, if you can believe God for the salvation of your soul, then why would anyone struggle in believing him for the abundant life here on earth? He brought you out, that is, out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the world, to bring you in from a bad place to a better place, from slavery to freedom, from the land of just enough to the land of more than enough. Tell your neighbor, God has a plan for my life. You see, you have to realize, well, if you told me like that, I wouldn't believe you. Tell your neighbor again. Tell your neighbor, God has a plan for my life. Glory to God. So that should be exciting for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith God. Right? I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future or an expected end. So God has a plan for your life. And it's important for you and I to realize that this place that we have been, brought to, which is in Christ, because it's only in Christ that you can access these things, it is a wonderful place when you really understand what God has done for us. And I want to do this real quickly. You know, you can write this down if you're taking notes. I would encourage you to read Numbers 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We're not going to go there. I'm just going to highlight a few things. But write it down. It's a good read. Because this is the account of the children of Israel coming out of Egyptian slavery bound for the promised land. Now, just to give you a quick review of that, and I'll tie it together with what I'm saying here. A, this journey from Egyptian slavery into the promised land was supposed to be only an 11-day journey. 11 days. Now, that sounds easy enough, that if it's only supposed to take you 11 days from one place to the next, then, you know, hey, piece of cake. We can handle that. And yet, that's not what happened with them. What we find is that Moses said to the people, come on now, the Lord has promised us this land that overflows with milk and honey. It's a place that he has promised us, a special place. And Moses appointed leaders from among the 12 tribes of Israel. There was a leader. And he sent the leaders. See, it's important. It's important. And it's important why? Because, you see, leaders have the big picture in mind. At least they ought to. Leaders ought to have the big picture in mind. Leaders ought to understand certain dynamics that, you know, the rest of the, you know, the people are still learning, still trying to wrap their minds and their hearts around. But leaders should be able to see through the eyes of faith. Leaders are supposed to be able to, you know, lead by example and understand the dynamics of that. So he picked the leaders and he sent them out to spy out the land. And as you go through it, you'll find that they went out there and for 40 days they spied out the land, this land that was promised to them. And Joshua and Caleb came back. And these two, they brought back a good report. They are the only two that brought back a good report. They said, listen, man, the land indeed overflows with milk and honey. In fact, look, we have these grapes. These grapes were so big, they got a cluster of grapes. Two of them had to, they had to put it on a stick and bring it on their shoulders. It's the land. He says, it's a good place. And then Caleb says, listen, let us go up at once and possess it, he said. But then the other 10, they said, no. There's a problem there. The land is too great for us. And there are giants there. In essence, they started to talk about all the potential troubles and the potential problems that they could encounter in inheriting what God has said. So the other 10 brought back, the Bible says, an evil report. Because it was a report of doubt and unbelief. As I was reading it through, and I don't have time to go through it today, I was just thinking, you know, what was different between Joshua and Caleb that, you know, they saw, they came back and they had a good report of the land. And they came back and they had an encouraging word for the congregation to tell them, praise God, it's a, just like the Lord said, it's a land that overflows with milk and honey. The other says, oh no, but there were giants in the land. The sons of Anak are there. And we are not able because, you know, like grasshoppers in our eyes and in theirs. They had a real inferiority complex. But they came and they came with a bad report of the good land that the Lord had promised. And the Bible says, you know, well, just before I move on, you know, as I was thinking about that piece of it, and I said, well, what happened to the other 10? Why in the world would they come back with such an, the Bible says, an evil report? And it was evil because they didn't, somehow they couldn't see what God was talking about. They didn't believe what God had said. And the Bible says it was an evil report. No doubt they were rationalizing it, you know. Rationalizing it. Perhaps they were over-intellectualizing it. Making it, oh, the Lord said, you know, but oh no, it can't be. Let's just rationalize this a little bit. Let's over-intellectualize it a little bit. And they came back and they brought a negative report of the good thing that God had promised. And the Bible says that the children of Israel, the congregation, they cried all night. They wailed and they said, oh, it would have been better if we were back in Egypt. God brought us out here to kill us and all this stuff. They had this negative attitude. The whole place, things just changed. It caused the people to fear and to say the wrong things, grieving God. And as you read through it, and I'm really encouraging you to see that because there's a correlation here. That generation fell short of the promise of God. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they just didn't believe. God says, how long will these people refuse to believe me? That was God's big hang up. He's like, how long? You read it for yourself. These people refuse to believe me. And they said, well, you know, I mean, he brought us in here so that, you know, we would die. And the Lord says, as long as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. It says, but you will not go into that land. Because you don't believe. And that generation wandered in the wilderness. It should have been 11 days. They wandered around in the wilderness until they all died out. And not one, only Joshua and Caleb, the ones who believed God and spoke faith, they were the ones that were allowed to go in. This is the same Joshua that says, "This book of the law shall not depart," the Lord says, "from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in therein day and night, that thou might observe to do." Don't leave your mouth. If you speak the word, you will observe to do it. But when you understand this, these people, they missed out on what God had planned. And they wandered in the wilderness. The Bible said their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And here's the correlation. So it is today. Many would seem to paint the wrong picture of this so great a salvation, which is rest, hope, love, peace, and faith, and focus on the negative things that may come your way, but are no match for the God who is at work in you, causing the people of God to be fretful and unstable in their heart towards God, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, having no victory and taking no territory, knowing not what to believe and what to speak to the glory of God. I want you to know, I have purposed in my heart that I will not be guilty of saying anything to my brothers or sisters that will cause them to doubt the love of God or the certainty of this so great a salvation. Can you say amen? You see, you have to purpose in your heart. You know, you can talk about all the junk. You have to purpose in your heart. Whenever you see me, I will have an encouraging word for you. Because I know that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. Everything in the natural is subject to change. You see, you're one decision away from turning that ugly situation around. Can you say amen? So who am I to have you? If you know, I had to turn on a few party invitations. You know, might say, "Oh, Pastor, that's kind of rude." You know, in fact, there were pity parties. No, I'm going to speak faith over your life. I'm going to encourage your faith. I'm going to encourage you to move forward in God, because as you move forward in God, He is the one who is at work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He is the one who can give you the break free sometimes that you need. You need to break free from things. And sometimes that breakthrough that you need, He's the only one that can bring it to fruition in your life. Can you say amen? So I'm going to encourage you to develop your relationship with the Lord. It's a relationship. You have your relationship with God. Once you have met the Lord, I remember I've had experiences with God. I remember there was this one thing, and I'll tell you real quick before I wrap this up. You know, I'm at this conference, and, I'm in the back, and this brother is gone on, this prophet Moses, he went on to be with the Lord, but he was preaching on, teaching on the Holy Spirit and, you know, all this stuff. And when, he says, "All right, I want you to pray for one another." And there was this sister that was sitting across from me. And, I was at the conference by myself, and, I got up and she came around, and I know the sister because she goes to the church, and I know her story. I know the junk that God delivered her from, and she'll tell you what God had done for her. You know, I remember we there, and I said, "Go ahead, sister, you pray." And she prayed, and man, she knew how to wield that sword, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And she was just praying that thing over. When she finished praying, I said, "All right, I'm going to pray." And I started praying. And there is something about, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you understand that your righteousness is the righteousness which is of faith, then you can really see how that works for you. But I started to pray fervently. And when I grabbed hands and I started to pray fervently with her, all of a sudden, there was a bright light that just started moving towards me. And it just started coming. And it starts coming, I tell you. And it started coming. I mean, I'm getting the glory bumps, just telling you now. And it started coming, and it's coming, and it just covered me. I never experienced anything like that in all my life. And I tell you, the Spirit of God was just upon me, and it's just, I called my wife and I was a mess. Because that's just how it happens. When you encounter the Lord, it's a whole different story. And man, it was special. And it happened a few times after that, but it was a special thing. And that's what we're all about. You're looking to nurture that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you nurture that relationship, then I'll tell you, then everything in your life that is out of alignment will begin to come into alignment. That's when you can, when you understand that, wait a minute, I'm not a finished product. So then you can come to church and throw your hands in the air and give God some praise. Can you say amen? Then you can come and you can enjoy that. Now, I see you getting a little tired, all right? I know, oh no, it's the hamburgers. And the jerk chicken. Oh no, all right. I just gave that away there, huh? I have one last scripture, then I'm gonna wrap this up. Man, you're ahead of me there. Hebrews 3 verses 8 through 12 says, and I'm picking it up in the middle of a thought. Now, we preachers, we do that sometimes. We just pick it up in the middle of a thought. You know, but that's where you come in. You have to kind of go back and say, well, let's see what preceded that. All right. That's how you do it. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Next. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. I've been talking to you about believing. If you just believe God, you have to believe. You have to have faith in the grace of God. Sometimes it might say, well, oh, come on now, you're just oversimplifying this. You know, is it that? Yes, it is that easy, that if you just believe God. If you believe God, then the songs that we did this morning, they all testified of that. His matchless love. It all talked about that. And it's only when you believe, you dare to believe God and to believe that Jesus, you have made me righteous. It is you who is at work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. And once you have surrendered your heart to him, then I'll tell you, your life will never be the same. It will never be the same. Then you'll become a true worshiper. Then you'll understand what it means to truly worship him in spirit and in truth. Because you say, Lord, I thank you that you love me in spite of me. And that is the place of humility. That's where you realize that, but for the grace of God, there go I, when you see all those people that are going the wrong way. You know, when you see that, you see it. So I trust that you really got something out of this. And realize that here at Streams, we mean business with God. We want you to experience the fullness of what God has prepared for us. And it's all in Christ Jesus. Dare to believe God. See yourself the way God sees you. See yourself the way God sees you. Bow your heads in prayer, please. Precious Lord, yes, precious Jesus, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Come on, sing it if you know it. Precious Lord, precious Lord. I hope you're desperate for him today. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, precious Lord, precious Lord. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Come on, sing it if you know it. And I'm desperate for you. Oh, Jesus, and I'm lost without you. Cry out. Hey, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you, Lord. Hey, and I'm lost without you. Oh, it's, had it not been for the Lord who was on my side. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Yes, sometimes you have to just get desperate in your pursuit of Him. Blessed be your name, Lord. I'm lost without you. Hallelujah. I'm lost without you. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, I'm desperate for you. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. This is the era. Hallelujah. This is the era I breathe. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Just lift your hands towards heaven. Oh Father, we praise you, we adore you, we bless your holy name, O Lord our God. We give you the preeminence in our lives. We acknowledge your goodness, your mercy, and your love. We are overwhelmed by you, O Lord our God. And we acknowledge every good thing that we have in you in Christ our Lord. Father, we recognize, we are a people who recognize and know who we are in you, in Christ our Lord. And we thank you, O Lord God, for the liberty that we have. We thank you, O Lord God, for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you impart unto us so that we can manage our lives and continue to show forth your praises all the days of our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the great and mighty things that you have ordained for us. We thank you, Lord God, that we can boldly declare that the worst is over and the best is yet to come in our lives. We can declare that even though there is chaos and confusion all around us, but we are a people of hope because we have a lively hope in you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, we just thank you, O Lord God, for the things that you have set in motion in our lives today. Things of eternal value, things of weight, the true riches of glory, as you have brought us, O Lord God, into the reality of believing you, trusting you with all our hearts, leaning not unto our own understanding, but living by faith every day, knowing that it is indeed a finished work, and we get a chance to enjoy and to live our lives to your glory, O God. Father, I speak a blessing over your people today. I thank you, O Lord God, for every household that is represented here. I thank you, O Lord God, for the great and mighty things that you have ordained. Father, I thank you that the revelation knowledge of your word is abounding in every heart and in every household that is represented here. Father, I thank you that your people are a grateful people who know their God. Your people are a people who know how to give you praise every day of their lives. And so, Father, I thank you that as we go our separate ways today, we can go rejoicing, we can go and enjoy our families, enjoy our friends, knowing, O Lord God, that our security is in you, knowing, O Lord God, that we have nothing to dread, we have nothing to fear, because we are leaning on your everlasting arms. We are resting in you, O Lord our God. So we just thank you and praise you today for your faithfulness and for your love. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise in Jesus' matchless name. And everyone in agreement says, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you all. Enjoy this weekend. Again, it's Memorial Weekend where we are celebrating. You know, those who have served, those who have given their lives. But, you know, just, as, you know, Irene mentioned, show your gratitude if you do come across a veteran. Okay? And smile, because Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. And, so do I. And so does Pastor. Amen? Pastor, I turn it over to you just to... Praise God.